Austin is truly an oasis of fabulousness in the heart of the Lone Star State. This weekend, gays and their pals from around the country are gathering at Lake Travis for Splash Weekend, a hot celebration where clothing is optional.
Meanwhile, a groundswell of support is growing for the National Equality March set for October 10th and 11th at the nation's capital. To entice people to go, the organizers have released a list of 140 leaders and allies endorsing the march. Did our endorsement get lost in the email? Or are the organizers limiting the list of people they deem worthy?
Why not have everyone endorse the March for Equality? We want your photos and videos in our inclusive March for Equality Facebook group. Listen to today's show as we dish up a hot plate of goodies.
A German TV station takes credit for creating the Michael Jackson coroner video, but did they really do it?
The Catholic Church's new sex tips, prayer.
Is Sean Lennon a little tacky with his attempt to recreate the famous photo of his late father?
And finally, a sport we can all enjoy, World Gravy Wrestling. Congratulations to this year's sexy winner, Joel Hicks. I'd like to clean him up. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Billion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Yum, yum.
Yum, yum.
Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fabulous listeners like you.
We really can't do the show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffun.com, and make a donation, buy a t-shirt.
Your financial support makes all the difference.
Thank you. Today's show is also brought to you in part by LifeLube.org, your sweet spot on the net.
LifeLube is your big tent guide to gay men's health, from sex and drugs to fairies and bears. It's your friendly concierge for all that's gay, sexy, and healthy.
LifeLube wants to know, how are you healthy? Go to LifeLube.org and tell them about it.
Remember, folks, we love comments. Use Twitter and the power of your mobile device to weigh in on today's show. Include hashtag FOF1049 in your update for it to magically appear on the site. I'm home! Hi, Mark!
Hi!
You're supposed to play a happy sound. Oh. Hi.
I cleaned up while you were gone, and I found a little
my penny whistle.
Yeah. Is this what that is? Is this a penny whistle?
It's a plastic penny whistle.
Oh.
It's not actual penny whistle, because it costs more than a penny.
Really? You paid for this?
Yeah. I thought it was like, it was in the early days. Here, I'll play you something here. Let's see, a little, this is like, pretend like I'm Jean-Luc Picard in that special episode of Star Trek, where he lived an entire life in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
That's very shrill.
It
Can't
is.
Can't you do like The Old Gray Goose is Dead or something?
The Old Gray Goose is dead, my friends. Dead, my friends. Dead, my friends. The
that,
old
that's
gray...
not how it goes.
I'm just making it up. I just got back from Austin, Texas, the oasis in the capital of the Lone Star State. It is a fabulous place. I first of all want to do a big shout out to the drag queen Jamie Perry, who for the last... Should I say how many
20
years?
20 years.
For the last 20 years, has been hosting amateur strip night at Charlie's on Lavaca.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, anybody who listens to the show who lives in Austin or Central Texas should make it a top priority to drive down there or up there if you live in, you know, San Antonio. And check out the show. It is something transcendently beautiful and bizarre.
Because it's so it's anybody can strip, right?
Anybody can strip, and everyone does.
So if I went down there, I could be like, I'm going to enter.
You can do it. I actually had a boyfriend at the time actually compete in that contest. That's how long that contest has been around.
Wow.
Before you and I were together.
Well, before you even moved.
Shout out to Lake, who worked as an escort and then became a lawyer. Same job, different name. But well, yeah, so
hourly is about the same, I think, right?
The rates were the same. Are still the same.
Rates are the same, but he bills more billable hours.
More billable, and it's legal.
Yes,
in most states. So Jamie Perry, to this day, looks fantastic, dances, and still hosts amateur strip night.
Is it still the same drag, same look, same techniques?
I talked to her afterwards, and I went up to her and said, you know, Jamie, you've always been an inspiration to me, and every time that I'm dancing and moving my arms around, I'm trying to imitate some of your moves, because she actually is a really great dancer.
Okay.
But I said, it's like, man, they should have stick you in RuPaul's Drag Race because nobody knows about her, you know. Mm-hmm. But she's like really, really good. And she's like, they won't have me on RuPaul's Drag Race because I'm trans.
Oh, really? She's transitioned.
And then my eyes went, wait, where's my my eyes went like this. And I'm looking down her body, and I was like, she was voluptuous.
Oh, really?
He is now a she.
Oh.
So that's what happens when you don't talk to somebody in 10,
you just
20
don't
years.
Ever know what gender they're gonna be. Like
it's
10
like
years
the
later.
Next day, if you know, you could run into, if you and I never talk 10 years from now, you could run in tomorrow and be like, "Hi, Mark, it's Faustina. I'm wearing panties all the time now."
I don't think that would happen to you though. Although, you know what's really kind of funny? There's a website that's kind of making the rounds of the internet. It's like the people of Walmart, and it's like candid photos of people like in shopping in Walmart, and there's this wonderful picture of this older man. He's probably about 60 or 70 with like scraggly, you know, gray hair and a scraggly gray beard. And then he's pushing a cart, and then you see he's got these big voluptuous breasts. And you're just like, isn't this world just a fun place to be? Isn't it?
I know. I don't realize how big my breasts have gotten after taking this estrogen.
Oh, this guy definitely had implants. I mean,
implants.
Oh yeah, they were like monster titties. It's weird. I'll have to show it to you after it. So I think it's peopleofwalmart.com.
peopleofwalmart.com, we salute you. You know, Ed Hayes should be on that.
Oh yeah.
Special Ed. Special as we Ed. Nicknamed him on the show. So Jamie Perry was hosting this thing, and it was complete as usual amateur strip night. It used to be on a Monday night. Now they have it on Tuesday nights. And it is utter chaos. It is about 15 people competing to get money. They actually pay the winners a lot of money. And so it's sort of their cheap way of not hiring dancers for the night. You know?
Well, and some of it's kind of like they're gag contestants, aren't they?
There are some gag contestants. Let me tell you, they don't know it.
Oh, they don't? They're not in on it?
They're not in on it. For a lot of people, because this event has been happening for so long, they think of this as like, I'm going to work out, and at the end of the month, no matter how, you know,
no matter what shape or size I am in, I'm going to do it. But I'm sure some of these people lose bets and have to end up going up there and doing it, don't they?
I think that's a part of it. Yeah, it's a humiliation. One guy was really a good dancer, and which a lot of people were saying is like, looks like he's having an epileptic seizure. And I said, no, honey, that's his butt having an epileptic seizure. Because a lot of them, too, it's especially if they have a certain sexual activity that they enjoy partaking in.
So if they're bottoms, like to they shake the booty.
It's advertising.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, our friend Christian's on. He works at, what is it, Lucky Horseshoe here in Chicago. And I shouldn't say his whole name, should I?
Well,
he doesn't care. He works there. I mean, he's doing...
He writes a paper about it.
Yeah, he's doing research on it.
It's research, people. It's research.
He's doing research on that kind of stuff. And so anyway, but he instructs the male strippers on amateur night there, and he teaches them how to dance because a lot of them always want to do like the same move over and over again, you know, back and forth, like a kind of like a shuffle. And it's like you got to move and do something, you know.
But I think at the Lucky Horseshoe, it's sort of like it's not really a performance that starts and ends, and then people vote and applaud and somebody wins.
No.
It's like you just get up there and see how much money you can make.
Yeah, you can see how many dollars you get.
Whereas this is show business.
So you're fighting.
You're fighting for your life.
Well, if you're a stripper, typically you have to have a pretty good body. So what kind of body shapes and sizes do you have?
It is the beautiful, full range of human experience. And in all its diversity. And that's what makes it so much fun.
Okay.
So what...
what was the most diverse? What was the most unexpected for you?
I would say, you know, I don't want to always be the person that categorizes older gentlemen as looking as Ernest Borgnine.
Okay.
But there was a guy who looked like Ernest Borgnine in a G-string doing a handstand.
A handstand?
And I was like, Ernest Borgnine knows how to do yoga.
You know what's weird, though, is like, I know a lot of old guys that I see at the gym and stuff like that. And like,
Mature men.
And the handstands are often part of the routine. I think maybe in the, you know, in the 30s or 40s, like, or you know, maybe it's probably more like the 50s or 60s. That was like definitely part of somebody's.
They're not that old.
Well,
Mark.
They're older. You know, no, I'm telling you, I see guys that are like probably late 50s, early 60s doing handstands at the gym.
It was probably President Kennedy.
Yes.
Requiring it of all the young men and women must learn how to do handstands for fitness and vigor.
Oh, yeah. We had to do those. It was the presidential fitness thing or something like that. And you'd get a patch.
Did you get one?
I think so, yeah.
I ate mine.
No, you didn't eat yours. You know what was really hard for me was the chin-ups was always really hard.
They still are hard for you.
When I was younger, I could do them.
Secret to doing chin-ups, people.
Yes.
Lose weight.
It's true, because like the more
those
you lose.
Those skinny guys are like, I can do it with one arm. I'm like, and they're just like bone. I can actually, when I'm, you know, I'm not, right now I can do about... the two or three sets, about six.
Oh, really?
Chin-ups with my own body weight. Mm. But let me tell you, like, when you're doing it, it's sending signals to your brain like...
Lose weight.
You gotta move. It's like the Wendy Williams little plate diet.
How's that working out for you?
You know, everybody was like, you've lost a lot of weight. And I said, thanks to Wendy Williams, the savior of humanity.
Because I tell you that, you know, when you do eat on a smaller plate, it's a smaller portion. And I've often felt, and I've talked to you about this before, is that it is about portion control. Sometimes you like to eat a lot of food.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm the only one doing that.
Well, my problem is I eat a lot of high caloric. I don't eat a lot of food. It's high caloric food.
You know what it is? Is when you're in stress.
Yes.
From drinking too much the night before. Ooh. The next day you crave foods that your body will help deal with stress.
Yeah.
So if you eliminate some of the stress, mm-hmm. and get a good night's sleep and not drink so mm-hmm. much.
I'm thinking about eliminating caffeine and coffee, because they say the coffee adds a lot of stress to your life. And it also makes you accumulate belly fat and things like that.
Well,
so,
what about like just drinking tea?
I think I might do green tea.
So in the news, I guess there's a German publicity firm, a public relations firm. And I don't have the news story mm-hmm. in front of me, but they're taking credit for the Michael Jackson ambulance video.
Why not?
And I'm thinking they could be lying, too. We don't know what the truth is here.
I think if somebody's, you know, if there's documentation and stuff like that, then I would say then they did it.
But they're just they're just sending a press release.
Yes.
We did it. I mean, you know what? Mark and I did it.
I didn't do it. I don't want to be known as that.
I'm the Michael Jackson. I'm the guy who like perfected. That's why I've been taking Bollywood dance classes, to learn how to move like Michael Jackson. Shamon. That's a little bit tacky.
What is?
The video. I thought that, you know, it's like, because it's messing with people, you know?
Well, I think they're just trying. Look, people are going to be saying that Michael Jackson is alive. There's people that are going to do it just like they did with Elvis. It's natural. And so I think that they're kind of like nipping it in the bud and spoofing it before like it's time.
It's a way of coping is by denying. Denial is a stage of grief.
Well, it's also making a joke out of it, too, you know, and laughing about it. Because, I mean, look, National Enquirer, for, you know, when did they stop saying Elvis was cited? When Elvis being cited stopped selling the newspaper. You know, they ran it for 10, 15 years.
Some people never stopped not seeing
Elvis.
And
I bet you they probably have done it like sometime this year.
Okay, so I want every listener right now to go to... Oh, shoot. I didn't. Okay. Worldhunk.com/. I never ask the listeners to vote for anything other than us.
Yeah.
In the People's Choice Podcast Awards or other things like that. But I just think Jakub Stefanow really is the hottest man alive, because, you know, Pavel Novotny, you've been replaced.
Mm-hmm. We were going to interview him, but it got like everything got kind of screwed up because like he lives in the Czech Republic and he doesn't really speak English.
And he doesn't have a cell phone that works.
Yes.
That's also.
That was kind of a weird thing.
But he's a fan of the show, and he places us in his favorite website, Sidebar, on his blog. Mm-hmm. And he wrote to us, and I think this is a generic letter, but I'd like to read it to the listeners here. Dear fan,
Wish you all well. I would appreciate very much your help with voting for me and help me in winning this contest, World Hunk 09. I know with your help I can win. Smiley face. It will give me another chance to come back to the USA and hope to get modeling contract. I thank you for your time. I will provide link here. I believe you can vote many times with different emails. Smiley place. Smiley face. Please pass on this to your friends and ask for them to me to help out. I thank you for your support and cooperation. Mm-hmm. Just copy and paste. Thank you very much. Jakub Stefano Kisis.
He sure is hot. Well, the thing about him too is he's noteworthy is because his image gets ripped off so many times and you see it everywhere.
Gay bars owe him $1 million just for using unlicensed copies of his picture.
It's everywhere.
Including Lucky Horseshoe, who has used his picture many times in their ads with false advertising because he's never set foot inside that bar.
You will never see Jakub Stefano.
You'll never see him inside there.
Although you might. Well, what's funny too is I really like he's got some unusual choices of words he wants to capitalize in this sentence because he doesn't really use endings. He just uses ellipses, dot, dot, dots in between thoughts and stuff like that. But he just randomly capitalizes words like appreciate, voting, modeling contract, USA.
He's so hot, he doesn't have the time to think about proper grammar, Mark. He's busy working out.
I know.
Pumping those up. But you know, I call him white meat, though.
Why is that?
All breast and wing, no thigh or leg.
What? No.
Because he works out his upper body a lot. And his lower body is a little bit atrophied. And so when you go online, God, I hope he's not listening to this because he'll hate his feelings hurt.
Well,
But you could see videos of him flexing, you know. There's one particular video and he's like flexing for the camera. Then he turns around and you see his little feet and it's like, wee, 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 wee. And you're like, oh, what happened
he's
there?
He's like the Fiji mermaid, like two different things. Like, cobbled together.
Now we can't tell him that we talked about him on the show.
Well, we can.
I love you, Jakub. I think you're so sexy.
That was a few years ago, though, too. I bet you nowadays
he's more balanced.
Yeah, he's more balanced and stuff like that. Because I think you told him that before.
I did tell him that. I think he's really.
You like to stalk these muscle men. Online.
I think he's one of the most attractive, next to my husband, Mark Felian, here sitting across the table from me. I think you're one of the most attractive people in the world. And I want everybody to bring Jakub to America. I think it's possible.
It is possible.
There's a sport I really want to get behind on. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do a congratulations to Joel Hicks, this year's winner of the World Gravy Wrestling Championships held in the UK.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. I saw that today and I was just like, yummy, delicious. You know, I kept thinking of that Mae West line and she's walking around with all the bodybuilders and she's like, all this meat and no potatoes. So I wrote an entry for Chicago, our blog over at Chicago Now, and it's all this meat and gravy and no potatoes. But it's wonderful. I mean, this guy's, he was gorgeous and his body's like great and he's covered in gravy. But the gravy's outdated, so I don't even know, is it even healthy to, like, they couldn't sell it. That was part of the reason they used it.
Oh, so it's like rancid gravy?
Well, I don't know if it was probably still like not going to get you sick, but it's probably after expiration date or something like that. Yeah, it's probably too old for that.
I'd lick that gravy off of him, even if it was rancid.
Women competed in this event. Men competed. I have posted a video over on Chicago Now, too, of these two really hot guys that just really just going at it. In the gravy. I'm burping because of the gravy.
Oh, I thought that.
I was like, of gravy.
I was like, do you need a break?
No.
You're like,
I'm just like, gravy.
So your stomach is like rumbling, thinking about licking the gravy off of this hot guy. Because you know what? He needs to get clean.
Yes.
And he needs to, you know, and he might turn this into a fetish.
And I like my fats and salts and starches.
And my doctor told me that it drink 8 glasses of gravy a day, and by golly, I shall. So there is so these are two tacky events happening right now. The World WWF, not the World Wrestling Federation, but the World Wildlife Fund. Similar letters, different goals. I guess they hired a Brazilian public relation firm or a ad company, DDB Brazil, to make an ad saying basically to conserve our nation, the world's resources. But they use this like computer generated graphics depicting what if the world, if the events of September 11th were not just two airplanes and two buildings, but many. Hundreds of airplanes.
Saying that like 2,000 people died in 9/11, but like 280,000 died from that tsunami. And so it's like, respect Mother Nature. And I mean, the lesson is, yes, respect Mother Nature and do kind of keep things in perspective. But, you know, just leave 9/11 out of advertising. It really has no place in it. You know,
well, if it sells... It sells. Well, I personally don't want to have anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. But if you are the marketing genius that can turn 9/11 into a new pair of sneakers for Nike,
right?
More power to you. But I don't respect that.
I just don't think it's going to happen. I mean, you know what? I wonder how though. That was also tacky too. Is, do you remember those 9/11 coins that they were selling from like Franklin Mint? Yeah. The freaky thing about it was, is like, if you so you have a coin and the 9/11 the World Trade Towers. You have the coin in your hand. If you put it on the table, you can like pull the World Trade Center towers up. So it kind of like
had like a lever or levy.
What do you call it?
Yeah, a levy. That's another word you don't want to use.
No, another thing.
It was more like a hinge.
It was on a hinge. Yeah, and so you could be like. You can be like September 10th, September 11th.
Building goes up, building goes down.
Yeah, and I was just like, well, that is so weird, but I think people bought them. I almost felt like buying one just for the novelty.
It was very tacky.
But I'm not a junk collector. I don't like junk. I don't want junk. You know,
I'm the collector. I collect things.
No, I'm the de-collector. I throw your stuff away while you're on vacation.
What did you throw away?
Nothing. I really didn't.
I'm like, oh no, my collection of 600 broken light bulbs. I need those for art. Speaking of which,
what?
The son of the late great musician John Lennon, Sean mm-hmm. Lennon, son of two great artists, also his mother's Yoko Ono, and his model girlfriend Kemp Moole, attempted to recreate the famous photo of his late father. That was shot 5 hours before he was shot and killed by Mark David Chapman, mm-hmm. taken by Annie Leibovitz. And, you know, if you're going to recreate it, why don't you be the naked guy? You know, I was like, I can imagine, like, he was like, oh, let's get my girlfriend naked and show me her boobies. And I'll just sit there like clothed. So I posted this on my Facebook profile and everyone's like, what's Fausto doing with a naked girl?
They thought you were Sean Lennon.
They thought I was Sean Lennon because I guess weird. Sean Lennon's gotten chubbier and I've gotten thinner. So we met each other halfway.
I
kind of look a little bit like him. I look a little bit like Sean Lennon today. And a little bit like that guy with the tattoos from Project Runway on his
Jeffrey
neck.
Jeffrey Sabella, yeah.
Jeffrey Sabella, when he shaves. And you look like Mr. Big any day.
And I get that every day. So you don't need to.
Do you know who you look like?
You don't need to Facebook message me that anymore.
I want to say that you look just like. And Mark's friends with Chris Noth, the actor who plays Mr. Big, on Facebook.
Oh, on Facebook. Yeah, I wonder if I still am. I don't know. I haven't checked. He probably deleted me. He probably said, oh, I don't want that, you know, some young stud gunning after my jobs that looks just like me. So,
well, you're not a great actor, and you have not had the body of experience that he has. I mean, you're my favorite
here, let's play,
appearance.
Let's play. Okay, you play Lenny. I'll be like, so what do you think? Do you think she killed him?
She killed him with the bad jokes on the show.
Lenny is a little like Mike May West, isn't he?
Lenny. Oh, Rick. Or what was his name? Nobody Rick puts
Orbach.
Baby in the corner.
Orbach. Something. Jerry Orbach.
Jerry Orbach. May you rest in peace. Mm-hmm. The man who's most famous for playing the father of Baby in Dirty Dancing. Mm-hmm. who saves the friend from the abortion.
And he thought,
I just gave away the movie.
You did.
Dirty Dancing. It's all about an abortion.
Sweet, delicious abortion.
And Patrick
abortions.
Swayze.
I know.
He's still alive, isn't he?
He's still holding on.
You know, I'm like, I said that and I kind of chumped because I was like, is he alive? Is he dead? So anyways, I think it's tacky for Sean Lennon to recreate this photo because it's sort of a sacred image. It's the last photo that was ever taken of John Lennon. And it's a very beautiful, transcendent photo. And it's also very sad to see the photo because, you know, in a way, it's almost like it foreshadows the fact that he became a ghost in his wife's life, you know, and his family's life. And and to be sort of like flippant and
well, I don't, you know, it's weird. I don't know what his motivation is and stuff like that. But, you know, it is his father and it is his mother. And it's maybe he feels the way about this model, the way his parents felt about each other. And he's just kind of like, you know, it's just it might be poking fun of it. He might be saying, I'm sick of this photo. Who knows, you know?
Or maybe, you know what, you and I should recreate that photo. Who's going to be the naked one, though?
You're going to be the naked one, of course.
I'll be the naked one, and you'll be the one, the icy clothed one who doesn't care. Shout out to you, Yoko.
Yoko,
you
know, she's on to take her top off.
She used to, yeah, she liked to talk. She liked to walk around. Well, you know, when you...
For that photo, though, she was going to take her photo.
She was insisting.
And then Annie's like, no, keep it on. She's like, I don't want to look at your little mosquito bites.
Annie Leibovitz is a lesbian.
Yeah. She wants like, full-bosomed women.
She likes them big and juicy mammies.
I don't know what she wants.
The Catholic Church is having a new safe sex campaign. Pray.
Well, they're trying to get people to, you know, have babies and stuff like that. Why are they asking? I mean, come on. To pray. Stupid. It just seems ridiculous.
You've got
so
to
ridiculous.
Pray before you make it today. You
well,
got
and
to
it's like,
pray.
It's one of those like bishops leagues or something like that from the UK. But it's a specially composed prayer before making love. And they want you to purify your intentions. So the act isn't about selfishness or pleasure or hedonism.
What is hedonism?
Hedonism is pleasure seeking.
So why don't you just say pleasure seeking?
Well, because you have to, because words have, you know, they come from places and you have reasons
you have
for
no
having
idea
them.
Why they're using it.
Well, you'd have to look it up with the
etymology. I know why they're
is.
Using it.
Why?
Because it sounds scarier and people don't know what it means.
Hedon.
Because if you tell Americans like, oh, seeking pleasure is bad. And Americans are like, no, it's not. But if you say hedonism is bad, they're like,
Hedon,
yes, it is.
I want to say Hedon was probably a town in the Bible. Why don't you look in the dictionary right now? We'll do the etymology of hedonism right now.
So Wikipedia it's to the rescue.
And it appears in a 64-page prayer book for spouses. And so they one of the things says...
there's a paradox of hedonism.
What is it?
It's the pleasure paradox. Oh, the idea in the study of ethics, which points out that the pleasure and happiness are strange phenomena that do not obey normal principles. Oh. First explicitly noted by
But what's the root of the word hedonism?
Wikipedia. You know, Wikipedia's turning into a bitch. But that's another story there. It's a school of philosophy that argues that pleasure has an ultimate importance and is the most important pursuit of humanity.
But what is its etymology?
It derives from the Greek word of delight, from hedone, or pleasure.
Oh, there you go. Hedone, from pleasure.
So it's not a bad thing.
Wait, isn't the heterati, aren't those are the chicks that, the professional hookers or something
it's
like that?
It's that evil witch in True Blood.
It is.
That's what it is.
The Menad or
the
whatever.
The Menad or whatever. Oh, True Blood. It's like the last episode, the penultimate episode was just a throwaway.
Yeah, it was kind of a throwaway.
I can't wait till the last, the season
finale.
I want
to see that
though.
Witch get it.
She's got, you know, what about the actress that plays the witch? Ensign Rowe, what's her name?
Rowe, yeah.
She was in Battlestar Galactica. Every time she gets killed in different series, everybody's cheering for her.
They always are like, yay, she's going to die.
The funny
thing is though, that when they were going to do Deep Space Nine, they wanted her to play the role of the Bajoran on the space station, but she said no to it. And that's when they got that Nana Visitor to play Clara Nerys.
No,
I just found that out because I was doing research
on
her.
I'm not a Trekkie, I'm a fan.
No, I was doing research on True Blood, you know, and I was trying to figure out, I was like, who is this chick? What else has she been in?
If you haven't been watching True Blood,
the thing about her is,
though,
she's a very handsome woman with a very distinct voice.
And strong presence.
Just strong presence. And when you're around her, you see her, you're like, wow, you get kind of mesmerized. She is witch-like in that spec.
She is. And I know women, I know witches, Wiccans,
yes.
That share a lot in common with that character. So for me, you know, because they're kind of, self-important
loopy-doopy.
Well, manipulative, maybe. And not all Wiccans or all witches. I'm just thinking of some of my friends that listen
to
this show.
You, it applies to
some
you.
Of my friends who are listening to the show right now, Kirthy specifically, knows who I'm talking about. So this is an inside joke with me and one of the 40,000 listeners right now.
But also your good friend.
But a good friend of mine is, we know this specific person, and she pretty much is the same character. Mm-hmm. And so I've been watching the series, and I'm just loving it.
Yeah.
Because she's like, ooh, she's going to get hers. And she says all the things that the witch says in the show.
Really? You know?
Oh, yeah. She's like, chaos,
you're just
baby.
Constrained by the da-da of and if you just free your mind and enjoy life and, you're like, whatever, lady. Listen, I want to know if you guys know anybody like that. So if, include Twitter hashtag FOF1049 to comment on.
Do you know any real life Wiccans who are troublemakers in your community? And
are they cannibals that are trying to kill shapeshifters?
But, you know, I think Wicca is empowering women. And I think and to gay men. And, and I think I respect it as a religion. And, you know, I've practiced it myself and failed miserably.
Yeah.
You know, the problem with all religions is you never get what you want.
Really?
Yeah. It's religion is basically like, I want this. Please.
Yes, give me that.
Give me that.
You know what we used to do? My friend Solitaire was really into Wicca. And so what we would do is
used to be, or still is.
She still is, I think, to a certain degree. She's more into the spiritualist kind of nature. We would go and we would get naked and go into the lake on moonlit nights.
And have sex.
No, we didn't have sex. We'd wish on the moon. And so she'd do a little ceremony there and stuff like that. And it was really kind of funny. I think it was about getting naked more than anything that was more fun. But I don't know. There's also, too, though, I came across this article, and again, I blogged about this on Chicago Now, and it is...
Well, they got to start paying us money if you're going to promote them
that much.
Well,
I want people to look at, too.
ChicagoNow.com/Feast of Fun.
Right.
And say that. Don't say Chicago Now, because the people don't know where to go.
ChicagoNow.com/Feast of Fun. And it is a service where you pay $100 to these atheists. And so when the rapture comes, the atheists who will, of course, be left behind because they don't believe in Jesus, they'll take care of your pets. Because, you know, Jesus didn't make any kind of like guarantee that when the rapture comes in Armageddon and stuff like that, that he's going to take, you know, your Fido or your kitten, cat, and
that's
stuff
brilliant.
Like that. So you get $100, and then it's $15 for each additional pet in your family. But they're not taking anything like horses or like crocodiles. It's got to be like a gerbil, a mouse, you know, that kind of thing.
So the atheist that's left behind will come to your house. Mm-hmm. How do they know that you've been taken away?
Well, because everybody's going to know when the rapture happens.
Oh, you do? It's not.
Yeah, you'll know.
It's not like...
Yeah, like all of North America will be gone.
It's not like, oh, Suzanne didn't show up to work this Monday. Oh, it's the rapture.
I think it's something like crazy, like 50% of Americans believe in the rapture or something like that. So, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, you know, the rest of the world, I think, would hope, because then like 50% of us are gone. They could move in.
I don't know anyone personally that believes in the rapture, or at least I don't. No. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I wouldn't notice anything different, except, you know, maybe like what industry relies on the backbone of the ignorant and superstitious candle fabrications, politicians, suddenly half of the Republicans would disappear and be like, well, I guess it was the rapture.
Yeah. I want to do a shout out to David in Scotland for sending me the Sulpidine. And he's also sending me some updates on Doctor Who. They've updated the TARDIS to give it kind of a more retro look. And they're filming.
Oh, let me see.
They're filming. It's kind of the retro from the original.
It looks the same.
No, it's a little different. It's a little different. It's retro.
You know, the thing about the whole point of this device in science fiction in the series is that it was, at the time that it was developed for the TV series, it was meant to be a decoy. It didn't stick out like a sore thumb.
Right.
If a giant blue police box appeared anywhere, people would be like, oh, there's Doctor Who's spaceship.
But you don't really see it. Like, you don't notice it. There's something about...
Oh, in the series, it's invisible?
Yeah, it's kind of invisible. You don't really see it.
Oh,
unless you know,
well, then
there.
Why even bother making a police box?
Because he said it got stuck like that. It was like that, and then it got stuck, and so he's just kind of... He's kept it like that.
Because he likes the
look. It's part of the shtick. But so anyway, so they're filming it, and they're like, this new doctor, he's young and he's cute. Matt Smith, he's the youngest doctor yet. And also, too, I don't know if you're a fan probably saw the two-part series Silence in the Library, Forest of the Dead, where Alex Kingston there was like some kind of weird time loop, and she had met the doctor before, but he never remembered meeting her because he hadn't met her yet, and she ends up dying. in it.
This is very fascinating.
So I'm just telling you, she's going to be in this. So you get to see the.
So we're going to see basically like new British pop stars pretending to be science fiction characters to revitalize their careers.
Yeah, well, it's what it is.
I mean, you know, because that's what happened in the first season.
Oh,
the blonde girl.
Well, oh yeah, yeah. I think she did revitalize her career.
Yeah, because of Doctor Who.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Bobby Piper or something like that.
I loved her. The thing that bothers me about the Doctor Who Rose is that these you get attached to these actors and these characters, and suddenly it's like yank, and they're off the show.
Well, it's the nature of British television too. I mean, they'll have shows on for like two seasons, and they'll just be like, it's done. But then again, of course, they have like soap operas like Coronation Street that's been around for friggin' ever,
just go on
and it's
and
like on prime
on.
Time. Primetime soap operas. Can you
so,
believe it?
So they're going to be doing in New York City, celebrating Bea Arthur, a public memorial to the late great comedic actress. That's going to be held at 1 p.m. on Monday, September 14th at the Majestic Theater in New York City. The event is going to be a fabulous event hosted by Angela Lansbury, featuring remembrances and performances by lots of fabulous people, including... Miss Coco Peru, Cheetah Rivera, Rosie. You can walk out during that, you know, get a, go to the bathroom, get a snack during the time.
Who's going to be like, Walter, fix me a martini or I'll break your neck.
That was her, isn't it? Maude.
Yeah. Maude. Oh, yeah. She was always threatening physical violence to people. I got to write to Coco and be like, you better bring that up. She always threatened to like cripple somebody.
Coco could
I'll
do
it. Rip your spine out and flush it down the toilet.
So Coco could be, you know, this generation's Bea Arthur.
Yes, she could be.
You can quote me on that.
She could be. So I'm so excited we're talking to the lady. Well, by the time you're listening to this, we'll probably be talking to Lady Vera Parker.
I better wear my Kevlar.
Do you think? I don't know. Scared. I think one of the listeners said Lady Vera Parker was a notorious drag queen who was allegedly arrested for, fraud by, was arrested for fraud by deception. And I guess is on 30 months probation, but she's out. And so we're going to talk to her about, what she did, why she did it, the reaction on the drag scene, the reaction from the gay community, and what the future holds for her. So we're getting lots of good questions from the listeners. So.
She's out of prison. Chained,
yes.
Uncensored Lady Vera Parker, Thomas Flanagan, the man. You can go to the website feastoffun.com on the page and post a question. No matter how tacky it is, we'll ask her.
Well, I'm not going to ask every question.
I'll try to get every single question.
I mean, we'll try to, and some of them you have to reword and stuff like that, of course. But I mean, for the general essence of it, certainly. And we're getting lots of good questions. And I really think, you know, people said like, oh my God, you should be worried. I think mostly our
why would
documentation of like, you know, talking about the events or the story and stuff like that. I think most of it was just some gentle, good ribbing like people described. I don't think it was very malicious. I think it was all in good fun.
Well, I mean, maybe that's the way you took it.
Right.
Certainly she didn't take it as good ribbing and she probably unleashed.
Yeah, but I mean, is she going to take anything as good ribbing when it comes to something like that, you know?
Well,
know.
She's being accused and I think she was convicted or we don't know what happened and so we don't have access to the court documents, so it's kind of like it's going to be he's hearsay, which is okay in some sense, but I would, you know, there's a problem when you're podcasting, honey. We don't got a budget. I can't spend my day down at Daily Center looking for court documents. So what do you think about the Catholic Church's new safer sex technique, pray?
I think that I you know, we did talk about this already.
I know. I'm asking. Okay. Discussed it.
Oh,
we talked about the word hedonism.
I think it's hysterical. I think you're just like, what? You know, for some people, it's going to be very important because, like, listen, you want to get your lady in the sack. If you say a couple of prayers, put a little mojo on her, it might get her in the mood.
Because there's some chicks that have those promise rings. And you know what slides off those promise rings real easily?
What's that?
Prayer.
So you pray together.
You'd be like, let's pray together. And then suddenly the dick's going inside your vajayjay.
And she's going, oh God, oh God,
oh God,
oh God.
You could do it anally. It's not sex. That's what the Christians like to do, anal.
But yeah. That's the, yeah, Christians. Not Catholic girls. Catholic girls will give blowjobs.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, and they'll have sex. But it's the evangelicals that are all like about virginity. Catholic girls don't care about virginity very much.
They don't? Why not?
Because it's just, you know, because listen, everybody around them has babies and kids and stuff like that. And they're just like, well, you know, it's good enough for mom and dad. So
let's take a look here at the Feast of Fun page on Facebook. There's about 19 comments here. We are taping a show, What's On Your Mind, People, and Kevin Parker wrote, double fisting, visible penis lines, and cool whip. What about you?
Kevin Parker, I know him from Erie, Pennsylvania.
You're friends with him?
I know him, yeah, from Erie.
Wow.
He's one of my, I think you may have met him before too when you were in Erie, but I think he lives in Philadelphia now.
And so ZH wants to know, what's it like being away from the one you love?
Oh.
Mark?
I don't know. You're always close to my heart. So that's the thing. And like, listen, I spend all...
You were gone since Wednesday, almost a week.
You were not. You left Friday.
Friday, was it?
It was okay. Friday.
Felt like
so
longer.
I saw you Friday. So Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday were the only days I didn't see you. Listen, I spend all day with you from morning till night. So it's like, you know, it's nice to get a break.
So it was nice.
Yeah.
I told you, have fun.
I did.
Did you have fun?
I did.
Did I have a good time?
I did.
Did you have too much fun?
I did.
Whoa.
Hey. I was a little hungover this morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Shout out to you, Joel. Happy birthday. We were hanging out at Roscoe's last night.
And also to
Neil Van Winkle.
Yes. So Juan Diaz says, I work in a junkyard and I want to bang a hot hillbilly.
Okay.
I say, go for it, girl.
Go for it.
You know, how do you seduce a
Cadillac converter? And be like, come on over. I'll get you a Cadillac converter.
A catalytic converter.
They call it Cadillac converters.
It's a Cadillac converter.
And you put it in your car and it changes it from a Honda to a Cadillac.
What? That's crazy. Jason Lee says he misses us.
Oh, Jason. Girl. Hope you get a job, Jason.
Get a job, honey. People are scared. They're a little bit worried about the job. Michael Andrews, sadly, of all the things that Kevin mentioned are on my mind, I'm having trouble deciding if the rumble in my tummy is nausea from the double fisting comment or the mentioned Cool Whip has induced hunger in me.
Mm.
And Raul
both.
Perez, why is it that all I can attract us confused straight white guys? Almost every boyfriend I've had has told me one of these things. One, I've never been with a guy before you. Two, I've always been kind of curious. Three, by the way, I'm bi and have a girlfriend. Or when I had a girlfriend we first met, but I had broken up during our friendship, that later turned into some kind of relationship. So Raul, my advice to you is like, consider yourself lucky.
Yeah.
There's no.
If you want a gay man, go out to a gay bar or something like that. That doesn't where you live, though. Where does he live, though?
I don't know.
That's the key. Because, like, if you're stuck in some places, listen, you're the only people you might have sex with is bi men because you don't have a very gay population around you. It's not like you're working, you know, in Kabul at the U.S. Embassy as a security guard.
Well, are bisexual men's dicks harder than gay men's dicks? Is it a perception issue? It's like, you know, if you're having sex with someone who strikes you as like you're the only guy for them, or you're turning them gay, there's a certain kind of hotness.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, gay men will lie about that shit.
Oh, will they?
Oh, yeah. They'll be like, oh, I have a girlfriend. I've actually lied to people and said that I was bi.
Oh, and who believed that?
They believed me.
Shit.
I mean, I wasn't like, hi, everyone, I'm bisexual, and my girlfriend is, she doesn't know I'm over here with you. It's not that way. You know, I'm like, hey, what's going on?
What else?
My girlfriend.
Doesn't work.
It doesn't work on you, but it works on other people.
It has never worked on anybody. You've never convinced anybody you were bisexual, honey. No.
Listen, chicks were trying to pick me up the other day. I said to her, I was like, we could make beautiful babies.
That was like 3 years ago.
It wasn't 3 years ago.
It's when you dyed your hair brown. Yeah, that's true. She did think you were
okay.
She was drunk, though, too, remember?
You hold me in such low esteem.
That's
sometimes.
Not it. I just think
I want to be straight, too. I want to be bi like you.
I think you're very gay. That's all.
Well, you are, and you're not.
Well,
saying you're butch.
No, I'm not
you're
saying
you're the masculine one in the relationship. right, America.
It's
Philip Gasper wants to know if I like to enjoy reading Spider-Man rather than The Advocate. Does that make me gay still?
Absolutely. Spider-Man's about as gay as you can get, especially now that it's been owned by Disney.
Disney owns Spider-Man? Yeah, I can't believe
they
that.
They bought Marvel Comics for $4 billion.
No, they bought Marvel Comics, not Marble Comics. The whole comics line about playing with marbles and going crazy.
No, it's Marvel.
It's true. They bought Marvel.
Marvel. They own Spider-Man.
I thought it was the comic book line about the little round things you throw around.
It's not that good of a joke.
It's not meant to be a joke. Okay, Alfonso Chavez, what about the guy that slapped the kid at Walmart? I don't agree with violence, but I've been there a few times and I've wanted to beat those kids myself. Give them a little discipline.
Children are people are not for hitting, and people are children too.
Children are people too.
Yes, what I say?
You said people are children too.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
Joker, have
whatever
another
the bumper sticker says on our car.
Bumper stickers do not lie, America.
Mm-hmm.
Alvin Wong, how long can the GLBT Center in San Jose survive the long term with all the budget cuts and grants drying up? Solution, move your GLBT Center into a Whole Foods.
Yes.
Or actually,
get something to pay the rent.
Move it into a Trader Joe's, because right now Whole Foods is suffering because the CEO is like, I don't want healthcare boo. And all the customers are I'm shopping at Trader Joe's.
I'm going to shop somewhere else. Well, you know, I support my local business around here, my local produce place. So
Edgewater, do you want to do a shout out to Edgewater Produce on Clark Street, to Krista and Jesse at the Golden Nugget on Lawrence? They have a delicious Monte Cristo sandwich for $7.99. Comes with a plate of fries and a soup or salad and a delicious iced tea or your choice of beverage. Check it out.
You're so crazy.
I love Krista. I love Miss Jesse on Clark Street. And also a shout out to Miss Vernon, who works at the post office on Broadway, just north of Lawrence. Go up to Miss Vernon and say, hey, people, Mark and Fausto sent me. What do you got for me? And she'll tell you a funny story.
If she has the time.
Miss Vernon, she's hysterically funny. She has a standing invitation to come on the show. She is very, very
Michael Lee said he went and talked to her one day, and she started told him a little story and stuff.
Yeah, and she's dirty.
And she like was, and people were like were behind him in line and stuff like that, and she didn't care. She was that line can be 20, 30 people.
And then she's like a character from Little Britain. Mm-hmm. And so her supervisor, Mr. Muhammad, comes up to her and is like, Chelvana, are you helping a customer? And she's like, I am helping a customer. Mr. Muhammad, can you see that I'm not helping a customer? Baby, do you want to get some? And then she looks at me kind of like winking. And she goes, do you want to get some stamps? And I'm like, and I play along and I'm like, show me what stamps you've got, Miss Vernon. And she's like, well, I got these Simpson stamps. And I'm like, oh, I got to get some. So she's like a drug dealer, but with stamps. And I don't need stamps. I use email.
Right.
Like I send one check every month, and that's to pay my condo association fees.
You mail that check?
I don't. That's the one check I send out a month, you know? Everything else I do digitally, so online. So it's kind of like, what? You know, it's crazy land.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, I want to remind people that today's show is brought to you in part by LifeLube.org, your sweet spot on the net. You can visit LifeLube.org and tell them how you are healthy, gay, sexy, healthy. Hit the sweet spot, LifeLube.org.
Oh, yes. That's Jim Pickett's fabulous blog on gay men's health, sexuality, and being healthy.
Yeah. I want to remind people, too, we're in the middle of a fundraiser. Fausto, what's our total? What's our tally?
Oh, my God.
If you visit feastoffools.net/thank you, you'll see our tally is, what is it as of right now? I'm going to guess.
Give me a drum roll. It's higher. $1,936.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. And I have to say, I just got back from hanging out with our developers.
Mm-hmm.
A shout out to, and I shouldn't say their names.
No.
Because they want the private. But anyways, and I was looking at the what they were doing, and it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It looks really incredible. I can't believe my own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's coming on the way. And actually, since we reached the midway point, something you look forward to next week is the special Feast of Fun, Devin Green, Joel Bryant, Mark Feely and Fausto Fernos collaboration of the Ugly Duckling.
Should we put that on Labor Day?
I don't know when we will be able to, but okay. I said, just trust me, it's next week.
Okay. I'll trust you.
Mark's like, let's do it now. I'm like, girl, it's.
I know, we'll be too hungover because we're going to Jim's wedding on Sunday. So.
Jim Ferraros is getting married from American Idol to a man, not a woman, which makes him gay. It's really exciting. I love going to celebrity weddings. I wonder if Paula Abdul
show
up.
This is your only celebrity wedding you've ever been to.
I've been to other celebrity weddings.
Oh, yeah. Whose celebrity weddings?
I can't talk about those because I don't. I don't celebrity wedding and tell.
Well, sure you do.
Do we want to talk about the list that.
Not right, Louis. We had to go.
There's other things we have to talk about.
All right.
The list.
The list.
The people, the hundred and the chosen 140. Tell us about the list, Mark.
I don't know. It's just a list of 140 people that have endorsed. Random people, the Equality March and stuff like
that. Who was one of the first people to endorse it?
I think we were.
Yes. Are we on the list?
No, we're not on the list.
That's a shame.
Well, yes.
And you know what? I want to say to the people organizing that thing and the people who had the exclusivity to release that list, this sword cuts both ways. I can talk about the march in Washington. I cannot talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I may be going. I may not be going. But you piss me off a little bit more, I'll send some of my special undivided attention your way.
Well, because the thing about the list, too, is it elitist? That's my question.
That's my problem. Well, it's not elitist. I want it to be inclusive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, remember when Bush was elected and everybody did, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of viral campaign. This is new media, people. Yeah. This is 2009. We can't think of like the elite few, the 140 or 200 people that the gay people are inspired by, because we're inspired by ourselves.
Yeah.
We're inspired by our community. And if this is to be a community event, you got to start with a community and push people forward to speaking out. Why doesn't it open it up to everybody?
Yeah.
And say, hey, I'm going. I want to start the I'm going campaign.
Okay.
I'm going to Washington, D.C. in October to stand up for 100% equality.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Yeah.
So I want everybody that wants to do this, I want you guys to email us, mail at Feast of Fun, a photo of yourself with somewhere written on your hand or on a sheet of paper.
On your tongue. On your
teeth. I'm going.
I want you to etch it like on your teeth like they do on those little tiny grains of rice. I'm going.
Or get a grill. One of those like wrapper grills.
Yeah.
Send it to mail at feastoffun.com, people. Because, you know, I think the idea is to open it up to everybody to participate. We'll start a Facebook group for it. Or a page.
Can people post photos on those groups?
They can.
And page and stuff like
that.
Yeah. All right.
So let's do it.
Let's do it.
So I'm starting it. I'm going campaign.
I'm going to D.C.
I'm going to D.C.
Do you want
October.
The date on it?
Yeah, why not?
October 12th, 11th, 12th.
Yeah, we don't even know what day it is.
Well, it's the weekend. The 12th is the big day.
The 12th. It's the day after National coming
out. Do you want D.C./10/12? What do you want?
We'll think about that.
Okay.
I mean, do you want to do a brainstorming session on live on the show?
What should it be?
I can't remember.
It could be anything, right? You don't have to be the same.
So big lightning round here. James Hamon III wants to know, what would you do for a Klondike bar?
I'd
unwrap it and eat it out.
Mm-hmm.
Or eat it in.
What?
Chicago is named the most stressful city in America. Is that true? How bad is it?
I think it was based on the traffic and stuff like that. I think that was one of the big things that people.
If you live in the suburbs and commute in the city, it sucks.
Yeah.
But I recommend the people that live in the suburbs and commute in the cities to live close to the train lines so they can take the train in and out.
And the thing is, though, too, like the traffic, I think, like in the city isn't bad. It's when you get out in the suburbs and the highways and stuff like that. Those roads out in the suburbs are just like, I mean, they're monsters.
And last but not least, there's a guy here. What is his name? Zeus Blackpaw, who has a little kitty cat in his profile, is wondering what's the status of having Rosie or Ellen on the show. They're always welcome.
Always welcome.
Oh, Sinead, your baby! Because Leah Delaria asked her, and she's talked about it. She picked up the phone and said, what the fuck were you smoking that day, girl? So we're going to leave you here with a little music by Mina, who was billed as Italy's first female rock star.
Yeah, she was born in like 1940, so she's been around for a while.
And so she's put an album that's called, Mark, can you pronounce that? It's in Italian. It's on the side here.
Oh, is that it? Sulla tua bocca lo dirò, Mina.
Let me see if I can use. I can pretend like I speak Italian by using a Spanish accent.
Do it.
Sulla tua bocca lo dirò.
Questo lavoro documenta l'incontro di due mondi, mina e la tradizione della musica lirica. There.
It's fantasticoso porque la bella es la música bella. So we're going to leave you here with the song Caor Mio Ben.
Well, you know, when I go to Italy, I speak Spanish to people.
You do?
I do.
Does it work?
Entiendo mucho. Molto, molto.
Molto bene.
Molto, you know. They know.
Quiero chupar un pinna, pinga muy grande.
Questa. Por gelato.
Por gelato. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Wishing you a fabulous, fabulous day. We think that you are fantastic, beautiful people. Mm-hmm. And we
know you
celebrate are. You and your uniqueness and fabulousness. I want to see the people who are going, or I support going to Washington, D.C. in October. I want to see those pictures. Mm-hmm. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Love.